Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus begins his first sermon and concludes with these words, "Enter in by the narrow gate." Now, there are many gates in this world. One gate is for man to take care of himself and do what he wants, do as he pleases. So that's the first gate. The second gate is for God to tell man what to do, and man agrees to do it. So he's given his commandments, don't do this, do this. And so the second one comes through Moses, who tells us what God wants. So this would be man at his best, and this would be man at his worst. Problem with this one here is that most people are made captive here if they enter by this gate. If you try to get in, this, by the way, this pyramid that's built by man actually is historically what happened. That men built ziggurats to reach to the heavens by climbing on top of these little man-made mountains or ziggurats so that they could then worship God. Only it turned out that what they were worshiping was Satan, and that they were letting some man rule over all the other men in this particular way. So the first way is to do it the human way before God speaks and says what it is exactly that he wants. The third way is Jesus. And on this third way, we have the Word of God. And the Word of God has two parts to it. One, the Old Testament, which says, you behave yourself. And it calls these people to repent and to go not here, but to actually go all the way over to here. Because Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So these two gates will not bring you to heaven. Both these gates will leave you to death. They're on the broad way that leads to destruction, either the way of the world or the way of religion. So you can either go through the world's way, selfish, doing your own thing, doing what everybody else does, or you can behave yourself and be as good as you can be. So this is man at his best. This is man at his worst. In other words, just normal human life as it's lived. But there is another way, and that is not only the Old Testament, which is the law of Moses, but the New Testament, which is the cross of Jesus. And through the mercy of God, Jesus says, don't go unto God, but come unto me as the only way to get to God. Now, I'm not sure how to picture this, but let's assume this is a gate here, and the gate to get to God is not through Buddha, it's not through any other religion, it's not even through Moses. The only way to get to God is to go this real narrow way. Now, narrow is so narrow, I wish I had two chairs or something, I could show you what it's like, I'll just use this pulpit. It's so narrow that you can't get a lot of people through. And so it's this narrow right here. So I'll put it like this. Now, the narrow way is real hard to get through. In fact, you can't even get through with all your stuff, so you have to dump all your stuff at the door, and then you have to go through like this to barely get through. Now, that's the only way to come to the Father. The only way is to go through the narrow way. But the broad way, lots of people can go through here. You can go in gangs, groups. Everybody goes the broad way, but the broad way leads to death, and the narrow way leads to life. So let's say I wanted to go this narrow way. The problem with the narrow way is this. You can only go through Jesus. You yourself can't go. So even though it's narrow, and even though you could seemingly sneak through, you actually can't. Because of your unrighteousness and your sin and your selfishness, you'll have to go the broad way. Because there's no way, it's so tight that only Jesus can get through. So only one goes to heaven, Jesus. Everyone else has to go to the other place. Now, that other place is the place of destruction. It's the place of death. There's no life, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's nothing. So this is the only way you can get through, only you can't even get through. Because Jesus, it's so designed, so tight, so close, so straight, that only Jesus, it's so narrow that only Jesus, who's perfect, can get through this door. Now, there is a way you could get through. That's number three. If you went through Jesus, you actually could get through if you were in him. Not if you're a churchgoer. Not, you have to go the Broadway then. If you're just religious, you can't get through here. But if you have a personal relationship with Jesus so that you're in him and he's in you, then you can get through this very narrow way, because the narrow way is Jesus. Jesus is the narrow way. Now, not only that, that narrow way, which is designed for you not to get through except in him, that's the only way you could get there. That narrow way is actually, I'm going to characterize it differently, as a cornerstone. That cornerstone is Jesus. So it's the same. So the blood of Jesus is this cornerstone that you trust in, that you believe in. You can't get there by being good. You can't get there by being bad. You at your worst, that won't do it. You at your best, that won't do it. So you can't do it. Now, the only way you can get there, if Jesus is perfect and what he does is die for you, so he forgives the Baalists and he forgives the people that are religious. He forgives all of them for their wickedness, because both of these are the same. These two actually equal each other. In the sight of God, when you're at your worst, it's the same as when you're at your best. You cannot please God by anything you do, good or bad. You can't eat of that tree. To eat of that tree, to try to know what good is, you'll never figure it out, because good is not what you think. Even the Ten Commandments don't help you, because the Ten Commandments say, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. But you can't do it. It says to do it, but you can't do it. You cannot be perfect. So how many have tried door number one, where you are at your worst? How many have tried door number two, where you tried to be religious and best and go to church and come on time and, you know, pay up and, you know, do all the stuff you're supposed to do, whatever it is that God requires? It's just too hard. And so let's say you did it all, you'd be proud. Let's say you didn't do it all and you fell back into Baal, then you'd be despairing. So any way you do it, you can't make it. Now, God deliberately sets it up so you fail. Now, God deliberately sets it up so that you will fail. Not really. What he does is he sets it up so that you'll realize you can't make it, good or bad, unless you go through that narrow gate. And the only way you can go through that narrow gate is to realize that only Jesus goes through that narrow gate, and you'll have to be tied to him. You'll have to come in through his mercy, through his grace, through his gift. You can't earn it. You can neither be good nor bad. Doesn't make any difference, because you wouldn't know good if you saw it, and you wouldn't know bad if you saw it. And no one would ever imagine that one Jewish lad who was born in a manger somewhere a long time ago, that's the only way you could get to the Father's house. But that's the way the Father sent him. So the Father sent him from heaven, I'll be heaven for a minute, and sent Jesus down this narrow way. And as soon as Jesus got through this difficult, narrow way, where Herod tried to kill him when he was born, and all kinds of problems and troubles, here's what Jesus did when he got to this way. He just basically held out his arms like this to all the Baalists and all the religionists, and he said, come unto me. Now, he could have said, go unto the Father. But he didn't, because you can't get to the Father except through the Son. So he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So Jesus scandalized not only the pagans, but also as a stumbling block for the Jews as well. Why you? Who are you? And because Jesus scandalized them, they didn't believe him. They were offended at him. They were angry at him. You know, who are you? Who are you? Are you greater than Moses? Not only am I greater than Moses, I'm greater than Abraham. I'm greater than Adam. I'm greater than any man that has ever lived. Oh, man. You got to. All right, that's it. You've had it. And so they killed Jesus and crucified him because he said he was the only way to the Father. And unless you come in the Son, unless you're married to the Son, unless you're adopted by the Son, unless you're born of the Son, unless you are born of God, you can't get into heaven. Only Jesus and his bride are able to go through this narrow way. So God has designed it in such a way that you can't get home. You can't get the Father's house. I am the way. I am the truth. The others are lies. The others are not the way. I am the life. Now, because he said that, you're going to go to death if you go these other two doorways. And most people go the other doorways. Now, I'll give you a reason why some people wouldn't want to go through Jesus and why they prefer the other two ways. The other two ways, which of course can't make it. But people don't like the idea that once you meet Jesus, he not only forgives all your sins, he invites you to go through the fire. And people don't like fire for some reason. And they would prefer it if Jesus would just forgive them and then let them live like Baalists or like religionists. But Jesus sets up a nice fire over here that when you pass through the fire, and you got to go through seven times through this fire. So when you go through all this fire, it burns up you. So you at your worst, it'll burn that up. You at your best, it'll burn that up. And then there's nothing left but Jesus. But when you lose your life, you actually find it. So God designs your life in such a way that he makes you pass through this fire until you're free. And once you're free and you're out here and you're dancing and singing and laughing and rejoicing and so on, once you're free, you're able to go back to Baal and set the captive free. You're able to go back to the religion people, whether they're Moses or Buddha or Hindu or whatever it is, you at your best. Maybe you're just a moral person. Doesn't matter. Whatever you are, at your best or your worst, and set you free from the lies, the darkness, and the death that's upon you. So this is the foundation teaching of Christianity. It's actually hidden in the Jewish religion. It's not hidden in Baalism. It's hidden in the Jewish religion. And if you understood Judaism, actually Moses set it up. He's very clear about this. If you're perfect, you could go through that way to Father's house. The only problem is only one was. And that's why only Jesus, who was sent down from God and then goes back to God, only Jesus was perfect. So your perfection now is Jesus. You don't have any perfection. You never will arrive at perfection. By the way, if you just sin once, you're ruined. Has anybody here sinned once? Well, you're ruined. Just one breaking of the law, just one part is enough to make you imperfect. So God has set it up in such a way that you could never get in, and he's making a point there. So he's saying something to you is, don't worry about it. I have another way, number three. That's the foundation of your life. Now, I want to be personal for a second. I grew up totally Baal. Most of you, not all of you, most of you grew up religion. You had some kind of morals. You had some kind of code or standard. I didn't. So I'm a pure Baalist. I mean, I not only was a Baalist, I loved Baal. I just thought this was the greatest way to go. Totally selfish, out for yourself, step on others, destroy others, hurt others. Had no conscience about it, didn't feel bad about it at all. When I got married, I was not a Christian. I didn't mind abusing my wife. I didn't mind telling her if she said, do you love me? No. I just was totally ruthlessly honest. And, you know, I could have lied to her, but, you know, I was married to her, so she couldn't get out. I mean, I didn't believe in divorce. That was not because I was moral. I don't know why I didn't. I just didn't. Kind of like you make your bed, you lie in it. I mean, I don't know why I had that view, but so I had to marry someone who wouldn't run because I figured I'd be caught sooner or later. Do you understand what I mean? So I looked around carefully. Who can take a lot of abuse? Because I'm a complete liar, and it may take her a while to figure out how much I lie, but she'll find out sooner or later. Did you know little kids will find out if you're a liar? Did you know? Are you aware of that? Little kids, as little as they are, they can figure out right off the bat, hey, you abandoned me. You know, they're lying there in the crib, and you're right there, and they love it, and then you go away. Ah! They immediately feel abandoned. Did you know that? And they are so selfish, they want to control you. And that little kid in the crib can't even roll over. He's just laying right there. He or she is just figuring it out. If I give a cry, which is the only thing I can do, because I can't move, I can't walk, I can't talk. But if I go like this, they appear. I said, somehow miraculously, I gotcha. And they're there. And at first you only cry because there's a pin sticking in you. Or you have to poop. Or something, you can burp or something. You got a need. But after a while you figure out, you know, I can control those people. And that little kid in that cradle is completely helpless, but he's figured something out. Huh. Whether I have a need or not, I can just do this anytime I want. Wah! There they are. So that's neat. The only thing they don't like is those other little kids that look down on them and start poking toys down at them and pulling on their ears and scrunching their faces, you know. But they get used to that after a while. I have no control over these. But I want to control mom. I want to control dad because they look friendly. Did you know how much power little kids have? They're just little bitty things. But they figure out right away how to control their parents. Kids are smart. If you put a kid into psychiatry, it won't be long before the psychiatrist is under the kid. Because he'll figure out what your game is. Did anybody ever do this to you? Mm-hmm. Because he likes that. Ah, we've got it. You know, and the little kid, he isn't telling the truth at all. He's just saying whatever he has to say to get that guy to agree with him or whatever, because it's a game. So you cannot trust what little kids say. Did you eat that cookie? And he's thinking, do I get a spanking if I say yes? Do I not get a spanking if I say no? And so he wipes the crumbs off his face and he goes, no. He isn't lying. He just doesn't want a spanking. You thought he was lying. You thought, you lied to me. You ate a cookie. I saw it right on your face there. I didn't. And he's so sincere. But he's not sincere about lying. He didn't care what lying means. He just knows, I don't want a spanking. Do you all understand, kids? So kids are brilliant. They're not stupid. They're brilliant. It's just you are thinking, you lied to me. Now, they're not thinking that. They're just thinking, you're going to spank me. And they're for the bigger thing, which is I don't want to lose the relationship. Because you're the one that feeds me and clothes me and stuff like that. I want to keep that. And you're trying to teach them to obey. They're not even into that concept. They're just trying to not get spanked. They just want to keep getting fed, clothed. Now, God doesn't want you to earn your way into heaven. That's why he provided number three. Number one won't get it, the world at its best or its worst. Number two won't get it, religion at its best or its worst. You cannot get there by any effort of your own. It's just a free gift. Now, you've all heard that 1,000 times, but I like to repeat it. I never outgrow the foundation. The only way you can get to the Father, the only way you can get to the Father is if he comes himself the narrow way and finds a way somehow to get through down here and sends his son, Jesus, whom he loves, and says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Immediately when Jesus came, immediately when we saw him, Herod tries to kill him. And after he escapes that, the Jews decide to kill him. And everybody wants to kill him. And Jesus finally gets killed down here. That's what happens when you love. How many think that's a neat idea? When you love somebody, you're going to get hurt. If you love your children, you're going to be hurt. So, should you be cruel and nasty at them? Doesn't help either. Any way you go at it, you're going to lose. Did you all just hear what I said? I know you didn't. You didn't see how powerful that was. When you love somebody, you have to control them so that you don't lose the person that you've just invested in. You see that? Do you all understand what I just said? So love is not at all a neat deal. When someone loves me, what they're really doing is trying to control me so that they get a kick out of loving, and you're supposed to appreciate them. So the parent that loves you is more dangerous than the parent that abuses you. Because the parent that loves you, no, they loved you. I mean, they had sacrificed for you. They had to stay up at night and, you know, hold you when you were sick and all this stuff. But they actually secretly, they expect a return on that. You know, like grow up and behave yourself. And how we know that some kids don't. There are just some kids, now they're rare. Some kids that just grow up and they just don't go the right way. In fact, I could almost say in every family, but let's say you only have one child. Well, that child, that one child, will probably be spoiled. And they will not only not repay you, they will actually criticize you and judge you. Isn't that fun? Don't you see the excitement there? I do. I think that's awesome. That we're all the same. Look at that. We're all the same. We're all the same. We're all the same. So we can never go home. We have to be destroyed because we're not perfect. Now, the reason God came down, because there's no way you could get up. You couldn't climb through this gate. It's too narrow. The only way God could come one way down, he made a way. Jesus said, I'm the way. You want to get to Father's house? You want to come home? It's through me. You have to fall in love with me. Now, I'm going to be personal. Because I grew up that way, and because you grew up the way you did, I had an advantage over you. If you didn't grow up under Baal, you had a disadvantage if you grew up in religion. Because in religion or in morality, you are trying to be something you're not. But I was always what I was. So when my wife said, do you love me? I could just easily say no. But the reason I'm saying that is I could lie and say yes, but I don't like playing those games, especially now that we're married and you're stuck. I'm just going to tell you the truth. No. So end that game right there. Because I know what her next question is. If I love her, she wants something from me. She wants me to love back, or she wants me to, you know, I'm not going to play that game. I'll just head this off right now. No. Now, expect nothing out of me, because I'm good at nothing. Did you all see that? I mean, I was making it easy on myself. I don't care about my, you know, reputation. I just want not to say anything but what I feel like saying. In other words, if she's going to try to get me not to abuse her. Do you love me? No. Now, you see, that ended that whole game right there. That's the end of that game. Because I know she was going to make me a slave. Somehow, if I'd have said yes, that would have been the end of me. Then every time I sinned, she'd have a report card out. Let's see, you sinned again, you sinned again. You know, pretty soon, because my dad pulled that when I was young. If you sin two or three times, he had a little chart in the pantry, and he'd make a little X mark every time you didn't do the dishes or you didn't rake the leaves or whatever. We had chores, and yeah, I had to clean one third of the house every week. My sister had to clean the other third, and the other third waited till we got around to that one. But we just kept switching around like that. And we had to do dishes. We had to do raking, carrying out garbage and all that. And you got X's. If you did well, you got a reward. Then you got your allowance. But if you did poorly, you got a spanking. So he taught me, you know, it's just, you know, so I would try to trick my sister into doing my chores if I didn't do them. Because I knew I was going to get spanking all the time. I just wasn't good at being good. And, you know, he didn't come in until I was 7 or 8. So it was unfair of him to come in and try to impose his law on me when my mother was raised on Dr. Spock. And under Dr. Spock, he said, parents are supposed to understand their children. They should be their friends. So my mother, she never disciplined me. So for the first 7 years of my life, I could just do what I wanted. I could do whatever I wanted. Isn't that amazing? Now, that narrow way was Jesus saying, not behave yourself. That was not Jesus saying, Jim, I'll let you in at a bargain rate. That was Jesus saying, Jim, I want you to give up your life, surrender to me, follow me, I'll take you through the fire, and then I'll set you free, and then you can serve me for the rest of your life, and you can go to heaven someday and play a harp. Like, that didn't sound like a good deal to me. But neither did the other two. I mean, it looked to me like I was living for nothing. Because if I go the way of Baal, apparently I'm destroyed. If I go the way of religion, apparently I'm a hypocrite. If I go the way of Jesus, he's going to burn me up. And then I'm not going to be anybody. And I have to play a harp. And I'm not even liking that. So I didn't really like any of them. So I put Jesus off as long as I could. But I don't know, somehow the word got into me. And it started to ruin my Baal life. I was having more and more difficulty getting a kick out of everything. Because I enjoyed lying to people. I enjoyed deceiving people. I enjoyed conning people. Telling them one thing, and then totally doing the opposite. And I loved to do that. I was a great salesman. I could sell anything to anybody. I was awesome. I could just adapt myself to any situation. If you swore, I could swear. If you said Jesus, I could say Jesus. I would do anything you needed to get ahead. Isn't that exciting? Is there anyone like me? Ruthless. I totally had no warmth in me, no love in me, no kindness in me, no sympathy. If Peggy would cry, which she'd do every once in a while. Every 6 months at least, she would cry. You don't love me. I already said that. Well, you're bringing that up again. You know, and she didn't want to believe that I didn't love her. She kept thinking there's hope. So I just, Peg, get it over with. That's Hollywood junk. There's no such thing as love. Nobody loves anybody. Do you love me? Especially when I'm unloving? Do you love me when I'm unloving? Is that exciting to you? So she had to think about it. And it would take her hours before she would answer, because it was checkmate. If she said, yes, I love you, then it's over. Because if you love me this way, I'm going to keep being this way because you love me. That's no problem for you because you love me. But if she said no, then it was checkmate. And it was over. Because if you don't love me and I don't love you, we're even. It's equal. Woohoo! You see? So enjoy yourself. Look at me. I'm enjoying myself. You don't love me. I don't love you. We're having a great time. Y'all don't see the brilliance. You see, you don't see that's brilliant, but you have to be a Bayless to enjoy this. So if I would steal, I never felt guilty, ever, 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 ever. If I lied, if I cheated, if whatever I did, I never felt bad about it. I felt good about it. I practiced it. I would actually stand in front of the mirror and try to look innocent. Let me say how to look innocent. And I could then sneak into any place or whatever. I always did the wrong thing, but nobody ever caught me. Isn't that amazing not to be caught? You realize when you get away with murder, you're going to get caught someday? But I didn't. That was how clever I was. Now, there's a scary thought in you that it could be any minute. That's a scary thought you have. What if I do get caught? Because I'm so cavalier, you know, I don't mind, you know, what I'm doing. I just think I can get away with anything, you know, and I can just do stuff. And you just think, you know, no one else can do all this, you know. It's just, you just never know what you can do. And so there's something fun about that, but there's also something dangerous about that. And when you're only 16, it's okay. But when you get 30 or 40, it catches up with you. So Jesus came to me at this door, and he said, Jim, come to me. No. And he said, I love you. And I said, I'll kill you if you get any closer. I don't want you to love me, and I don't believe in that. Don't. Don't do it. Because I know what you mean by that. You want to control me. You want me to go to church. You want me to pay 10% of my income or something. You want me to be nice to my wife. You want me to respect my parents and so on. I don't want to do that. So you see, is there anyone here? Now, you won't go to heaven because you say yes. Is there anyone here who is as rotten as I am? Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel good. That's good. That's wonderful, Dave. That's good. You may have a smaller group than me. How many here are not like me? I love it. Peg, did you raise your hand? You're not like me. You're not ruthless. That's good. You see what a treacherous woman she is. So she actually is like me, but doesn't want to admit it to herself or to anyone else that she actually knows she's just exactly like me. You know why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And only Jesus can save you. Now, personally, what happened is I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with him. And the minute I met him, I hated him. I avoided him. I mean, I didn't hate him like active hate. I just hated him like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to. Am I going to look like the religious people I've seen? Forget it. You know, I'd never met a Christian that was happy. The ones that were serious, the ones that were serious were, this means I got to quit. the ones that were serious were too serious for me. There's no life in them. The ones that were like I was, then why are you a Christian? You're a hypocrite and a liar. I knew I was. And that's why years ago I stood up in front of my church and said, I don't believe in God. I'm a pastor, I know, but I don't believe in God, and I don't know any pastor that believes in God. I'm meeting with the pastors, and they don't believe in God either. They just say they do. They just play a game, and they just deceive their people. But when I'm with them, they want to drink and smoke and chew and go with those that do. They are wild. Had one pastor here in town. He wanted to do some rotten stuff. I won't tell you what it was. But these are not pastors. Now, it didn't bother me that they did it. It bothered me that they wanted to be called Christians and pastors. So I just stood up in front of my church and said, I'm a phony, I'm a fake, I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. When I leave here, I just go play tennis, or, you know, I read books, or I do what I want to do. I always do what I want to do. And I just do this because you get paid to do it, and it's the easiest job in the world. I love being a minister. You only have to do four things. You baptize babies, you confirm the older children, you marry them when they're ready to get married, and you bury them when they're dead. And there it is. And they pay you for that. It's great. They don't care what your sermons are like or anything. You could say anything you wanted to say. As long as you do those four little jobs, you're in. Did you know that most ministers talk, but you don't know how they walk? And you find out later, you know, they're just deceiving. They have a mistress on the side, or they're greedy, or they have a big ego, or whatever. But when I fell in love with Jesus, it was 100%. That narrow way is the only way to get to God. It's a free gift. And he didn't want to change me. He didn't want me to make an alteration. He wanted to come and love me unconditionally. And whether I went to heaven or hell, that was mine. But when I got to meet him, I realized, wow, if he's telling me the truth, then my life is death. It's nothing. And I fell in love with Jesus one day. Amazing. I can't tell you how it happened. I can tell you the story how it happened, but I don't really know how it happened. But something took place, and I fell in love with him personally. What I mean by that is, if you took everything away from me, you cut off, gouge my eyes out, cut off my hands, you know, I lose my health, lose all my friendships, lose my wife, lose everything, I still am happy. Totally in love with Jesus. Now, is there anyone here who, like me, is dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus? That's what Jesus was offering. He was saying, come unto me. The only way you can get to the Father is by me. No man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. So the Father, through the Son, was drawing me, and I got drawn. I was only coming to use Jesus. Like, Jesus, yeah, I'm running out of stuff. Could you help out? I just wanted to use him. I just wanted to rape him. I just wanted to use him, and then, hey, okay now, leave me. But Jesus was right there, and he loved me. And what happened? What happened? I fell in love. I didn't come to do that. I just come to use him. But I found out, if you fall in love with him, suddenly nothing else matters. When you find the pearl of great price, you'll sell everything you have. And that personally happened to me. No one can make me unhappy. No one can sin against me. It doesn't bother me. No one can abuse me. It doesn't bother me. No one can hurt me, bribe me, whatever. I don't want anything or need anything. I have everything. Is there anyone else like that? Amen. It's powerful. The narrow way. It's freeing to know. Yeah. That's why he sends you through the fire. A loving father chastens the son that he loves. If you love your children, you chasten them. You narrow them down. You send them through the fire. That's what love does. But Jesus does not force you to go through that fire. He doesn't force you. So he didn't make me do it. It was his love that killed off my flesh. When you see the love of God, when you see how much love he has for you and how you don't have any, that's powerful. It'll change your life forever. It's too powerful. The narrow way is to have this personal relationship, not with God. You can't get it with God. You have to do it through Jesus to get to the Father. You can't go through religion. You can't go through selfishness. The only way you can go is through Jesus. And it's so narrow, Buddha can't get you there. Muhammad can't get you there. Nothing can get you there. You don't have to get there because Jesus already said, I did it. I did it. You don't have to try to figure this out. You don't have to try to muster something up. He already put you there. It's just a matter of whether you believe him or not. You're already, it's paid for, but he won't force you to take it. He won't force you to do anything. He just offers it. Now, if you think you have to do something to get it, you won't get it. Just surrender. So he's already done it. You want to be in heaven? It's just like that. Okay, I want to be in heaven. That's all. It's simple. It's simple. It's not like, well, what do I have to do? There's nothing to do. It's all been done. The perfect has come. The imperfect passes away. When the perfect has come, the imperfect will pass away. Now, Jesus came to have a personal, not you can't do it because you're in Pastor Jim's church or because you're married to a Christian. It has to be personal with you, where you have total joy all the time, joy unspeakable and full of glory. So you can test yourself. Gee, am I ever unhappy? Because if you are, Jesus, I'm miserable right now. Jim, how come? Because of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Jim, no, I always lead you in triumph. Well, look at this. Oh, don't look at that. Look at this. Look at me. You're drawn close to me. Whether you've sinned or not sinned or whatever, that's not the issue. The issue is I love you. Did you forget that? Have you already forgotten God? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you've made it so simple that even we could get in. If Pastor Jim could get in, anybody could get in. You don't have to be qualified. We're already pre-qualified because you qualified us. And we are complete in you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've made it available to us. We're all Christians, but have we all surrendered, not only in our spirit man, but also in our soul man, but also in our lives, so that we might be led of the Spirit, and that will actually change our outer lives to be led of the Spirit. Whoever is born of God is led of the Spirit. So, Lord God, help us to understand this is all you're doing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you all the praise. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.